Hello, and welcome to another fine episode of the Tombstone Podcast, a podcast where we talk about video games, the video game industry, and whatever else we want to talk about. My name is Devin.
I'm Kevin.
My name's Dominic.
And I'm Zach.
I like the little southern drawl Dominic put on his name this time. My name's Dominic.
I realized that after the fact. I was like, nah, I didn't. That's not intentional.
Whoopsies.
God did that. All right.
God did that. I have the power of God and anime on my side.
Making me have a southern drawl.
Okay, so what games have we been playing, boys? You go first, Kevin, as usual.
Okay. Well, I got back into Fire Emblem Three Houses. Because when you start the game, it just kind of offloads a bunch of these new features on you, and I kind of got mentally exhausted, so I put it away. And then now I come back and I'm like, oh, okay, this all makes sense now. So I had to give it that little breather, come back, because it has a, it almost has like a base camp thing like Monster Hunter does, where you like run back and it's like, all right, well, we're gonna, you know, talk to these people and we're gonna cook some food and we're gonna go fishing and shit. And it's just like, man, this is too much. So now that I have a grasp of what I can do and what needs to be done, I'm much more interested in the game. So
kind
of course.
Yeah, I'm having a good time with it now.
Yeah.
All right. That's cool. Dominic, what about you?
I actually just picked up finally after having sat on it for a couple months, finally played Devil May Cry 5. And I'm on like the fifth or sixth mission or something like that. And I gotta say, paying for the whatever deluxe edition thing while it was on sale, so it was like the same price as regular, as like the vanilla title, was great because it came with Japanese voice lines, and to wrap it up, the English version, it's like a cringy anime, and the Japanese version makes it a slightly less cringy anime. But
well, that's just subs versus dubs right there.
It's just the sub versus dub world, and I'd hate to say I'm a sub guy, but
we're sub guys in here in this yeah. neck of the woods.
Yeah. But oh, dude, it's just, I
Dom's you, a sub.
Yeah, you can't.
Wait a minute.
God bless. You can't fix it in the tutorial. So in the tutorial, I have to hear like Dante and Nero like,
there's these nothing you can jackass, and I'm like, all right,
just do very, something different, please.
Yeah, very clearly like
they're like, reading off of a script.
Yeah, they're like this is first read off of a script. Huh, yeah. Nero. Yeah.
that's kind of the impression. But other than that, like voices aside, the game is so polished. It's really, really crisp and nice. And all the movements are kind of familiar. It's a good time.
Yeah, I definitely need to hit that up as soon as I can.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, I just figured out, because I looked through all those PlayStation 2 games that I have, and I actually have Devil May Cry, the first one, on PlayStation 2, so whenever I get, you know, a power cord and a controller, because I don't have either of those, I can actually play Devil May Cry.
I will warn you, it's a bit more like Onimusha 2. You know how Onimusha 2 has the, or Onimusha in general, has the tank controls?
Tank controls, yeah.
Yeah, Devil May Cry 1, I think 2 both have that.
Yeah. They both do have those. A lot of those earlier games had tank, like a lot of early games had tank controls.
Because they didn't know how to do Metal Gear 3D, and all of them had a fixed camera. Or at least a lot of them had a fixed camera. And it makes the most sense when that's the case.
Yep.
Yeah. They fix it with the new one, obviously, but I definitely remember it being a kind of a bad time sometimes because of the fixed camera and all that, and you're just like, wait, no, I need to see my person. Mm-hmm. I need to see where I'm going.
Yeah, so Zach, what you got for us?
I've actually, over the past few days, went back and I've been playing some modded Minecraft.
Ooh.
So reliving all the good days
of all the hours I spent.
Hmm?
Gotta specify modded.
Yeah.
Otherwise, it's the just current, Minecraft.
Well, yeah, normal Minecraft's just kind of eh. But modded Minecraft, this, I think Mod Pack has like a few hundred different mods. It's a lot.
That's too much for me.
Yeah. And then like all the basic a lot of the basic crafting recipes have been changed to make them more difficult. And it's a mod pack built around exploration and combat rather than just mine, get some ores, and then progress
keep upgrading
that way.
Upgrading your arsenal, but not really doing anything.
Yeah. It's more focused on going to this dungeon, kill a bunch of stuff, get some cool armor and weapons and stuff, while also finding the ore and stuff you need to progress with other mods. And there's a lot less just downtime, I guess. It's just explore.
Yeah.
I don't really find myself sitting in the base that much.
Oh, thank God. Because that's the worst thing about, like, a game that's structured like that, where it's you kind of have to make your own fun and have a feedback loop and all that. When you spend all your time in the base, that's like my least favorite thing.
I don't know. I mean, I usually get carried away no matter what experience it is, and so like I know that I won't be able to ever do what the game is like asking me to do. Like if it's like a quest or if we're trying to like all like build a rocket ship or some nonsense, I'm just like I like putting flowers around my house, and I like the little stuff.
Well, that's the thing, is you can go around and like you can just kind of enjoy the world rather than being locked away in your base. Like, all right, I got to put this ore in this oven and this ore in this oven and then put this here and then put this there. Just like kind of the busy work. Like this is the this is the checklist, you know, doing your chores. That's the not fun part.
Right.
But like fucking around and like planting flowers and, you know, exploring and running around and frolicking, you know, that's all the fun part.
Fighting dragons.
That too, but you know.
They're difficult.
Yeah, I enjoy this. It's just like the peaceful music and then the fucking chaoticness of actually like exploring caves and being like, especially early on when you're just like, shit, that's a creeper.
So comes up on this has like made normal mobs extremely difficult and tanky. They all spawn with armor and enchanted weapons. They each have like 30 health. They sprint at you super fast. Everything is tanky. But when we first spawned in that first night, me and Mike probably died like at least 10 times each. It was bad. But once you get some gear, you can defend yourself, but starting out rough.
Yeah, that sounds just like hardcore Minecraft. Okay, yeah. So for me, I just got Hollow Knight not too long ago, and I actually just started playing it. I've played about an hour and a half of it.
Ooh,
nice. It's fucking difficult.
Yeah.
it's not an easy game. I'm enjoying it, but like I have to play in like small little spurts because I just have to.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, same here.
It gets a bit much whenever, like, especially because like the exploration's really cool, and sometimes I feel like I'm not going where I need to go, but where I want to go, and then like I'll die and be like, "Fuck, I don't know where I was."
Yeah.
So I'll come back later.
Yeah, I will say the number one thing, and it gets pointed out in the video on Hollow Knight. It's called Boss Keys, and it's on Hollow Knight, and he's like, the one thing I would say sucks about this death mechanic is that you'll fuck off and go explore this random other place, and then when you die, you might think, oh, well, I just won't go do that. But with the corpse mechanic, it's like, well, I gotta go back there. So that's less than ideal, but, you know, exploring is still, like, super fun. I get off track all the time in that game.
I've always done stuff out of order in Hollow Knight, and the last time I played, it's been a long time, but the last time I played, I tried to like very carefully and methodically go through everything I'm quote unquote supposed to get through in order to like 112% the game or something like that because of the DLC, but it is one of my favorites of all time. I'm sure, I know we've talked about it a lot.
Yeah, I think the way it's structured, I feel like it's hard to kind of go out of order, though, because there's definitely
can, but like not immediately. Like there's a few things you can kind of stray off and do. It's once you get one, I won't say which, I guess, but one particular upgrade really fucking opens up the game, and then you can just sequence break the fuck out of it.
Is it the dash or is
it is not the dash. The dash opens up a little bit. It's like mostly linear with some slight deviations that you can do until a specific upgrade that you get, and then you can get almost anywhere. And then it's just
cool.
Fucking game over, and you could do it in any order you want, and it just opens up big time.
Yeah, well, I'm definitely excited to play more of it. And if you haven't, go check out our Hollow Knight episode that we had about a month ago, I think. It was pretty good. So, but today, we're actually going to move into our proper discussion. We're going to do the Jedi Fallen Order, the new Star Wars game. Single-player Star Wars game that's pretty fucking awesome, but also has its downsides. I know that, Kevin, you've beaten it.
Yep.
Right? And Zach, you've played a little bit of
little bit of it.
And then Dominic, you haven't touched it at all.
No, I mean, I've gotten to like maybe the third area, which in the grand scheme of things is probably, I probably really haven't touched it.
You're farther than me.
Well, cool.
Yeah. But it's if you don't know, it's kind of like it's kind of like Sekiro with like how it has like the skill point thing. It's very like, you know, Dark Souls style map layout where, you know, door doesn't open from this side, but it opens from like way around the other side, and it's a shortcut.
Yeah, I will the level design, I know you're not familiar with it, but the level design to me is a lot like Metroid Prime 3, mostly because, and we'll get into the details as to why, but one of the things about it is that it's got multiple worlds. You know, it's, you know, you got to go to this world, okay, you're done with that for now, pop to this world, pop to that world. I get more of a feeling of that game than I do of Dark Souls, at least more than Dark Souls 1, because Dark Souls 1 is very like vertical and winding, and this game is a bit less vertical, and you know, we'll get into that with the level design.
Well, we can probably start at the level design, because that's probably, to me, was like the weakest part of the game was the level design.
It's simultaneously quite good and quite disappointing as well.
It's very beautiful and very varied. Mm-hmm. But it turns, like you say, like Dark Souls is more like a vertical game in which, you know, you take an elevator and it brings you all the way from here, then it'll bring you all the way fucking to the underworld, and you're just like, whoa, okay, I'm here now, cool. It's kind of like how every way leads to Blackreach in Skyrim.
Mm-hmm.
With Dark Souls, it's like you'll just all of a sudden wind up somewhere and
you're like, oh, fuck, this connects.
You're like, this connects. Okay, so then this other way that I was going, now I have like a 5-minute faster way of getting here.
Yeah, exactly. It's more interwoven into like a knot rather than just like a sprawling this game feels like it was mostly thought of in a two-dimensional sense. You know, certain things are layered and you can take elevators up and down in some spots, but things hardly ever, you know, go under each other very much. So it doesn't like tie up in neatly in a knot. It's just kind of like you threw the strings on the ground and they just kind of all go in every direction.
That's what I felt with, at least just with the first couple areas that I've played in. It's like your whole goal is to get from point A to point B, and the in-betweens are at this point, I'm sure it gets more interesting, but at the point that I'm at, it just kind of seems a little monotonous, you know? Like if you take one corner that you normally don't, you might like find a chest with like a future upgrade or something like that. But otherwise, it feels like there's a lot of like organic atmosphere to the game because it's, you know, it's a Star Wars game, and we've gone on and on about the whole Star Wars polish, but I mean it, but more so it just, it kind of feels like that's all that that is, you know, like I kind of agree that there's not a whole lot to the level design, but that's not to say that, I mean, you know, it's very efficient at what it's designed to do, and it just sort of, it's just designed to get you,
yeah,
you know, point to point.
I will say, like, it's fun to move through the levels, and
yeah,
it's all great until you have to backtrack, because that's yeah, when you notice, like, oh, I've already cleared that path, and now I just gotta walk backwards through it, you know? Like, that's when that kind of level design isn't as satisfying. You still get the satisfaction of running and jumping and really going a long way and facing a lot of different challenges. That's a fun experience. And I like, you know, if we were to say like the square footage, I like the square footage, but it could have been like, you know, 20 stories tall rather than one story tall and just really fucking wide, you know?
Yeah, because like you said, it's like backtracking is fucking miserable. Like I had to put down the game a few times and be like, all right, I want to keep playing, but I'm not right now.
Yeah, I can't do that walk right now.
Yeah, because it would be like, okay, now you need to get back all the way back to your ship, so that way you can go to the next planet. And you're just like, okay, so that's like just 10 minutes of me just running through. And then also, like, I've never played a game where I check the map every minute.
Mm-hmm.
And you have to check the map every minute just because it's so sprawling and it's so windy and twisty and just... It's the weakest part. It the exploration's fun. The movement that you have, you get like double jump and force pull and force push that allows you to like move obstacles. You can zip line. You can slice into like elevators and you can wall run, and like there's a lot of cool movement shit. And it's really fun to explore.
But only when it's new, you know?
Yeah, only when it's new. Whenever you have to, like, go back all the way back through somewhere. Because, like, it's weird. Because, like, sometimes a shortcut isn't really too much of a shortcut. It just, like, it doesn't really bring you where you want it to bring you.
And it's not really any quicker. It's just another way.
Yeah. Sometimes it's, like, you'll get a... like a rope shortcut, and it just brings you up to like the next level, and then, but really there's nothing up there, so it's just kind of like I don't know, the level design could have used some more imagination to it, and a little bit just more polished and better thought out, because some of the backtracking is really just drags the game down.
Mm-hmm.
To me, it's almost indicative of like kind of how Devil May Cry 5 is, funnily enough, because like going through those missions, there's a couple, you know, of course there's some winding paths here and there that lead you to like a good upgrade or like a good, you know, crafting material or something like that, but again, it's like, other than that, it's you're gonna go to this checkpoint, hack and slash a few people, go to the next checkpoint and hack and slash a few people and fight a mini boss, and then go to the next checkpoint and like in and around that massive tree trunk, you only have like a couple limbs as opposed to like a whole bunch of branching paths that go all over and over. In Devil May Cry, it's not really necessary to have those like crazy kooky paths that take you like all over.
Yeah, it's just a very different
all
sort
over the
of
space.
Game.
Right, but the fact that that is, to me, reminiscent, or it alludes to just sort of how the design is in Fallen Order. It's like, well, then there's that in itself, there's the problem.
Yeah. There's a very well-noted tendency for game designers, level designers to make very horizontal maps because it's just easier to think of. It's like, right, if you drop someone and say, here, you have this level editor, make a level, people tend to think about it in two dimensions because it's just easier to wrap your head around. So it's a really big struggle a lot of times to make it more vertical. And I think just utilizing that extra dimension can add a lot more convenient backtracking, because I mean, shit, there's fucking gravity, you know, like you want to get from a high place to a low place, you just fall. Yeah, like if you can just utilize verticality, it makes that sort of thing at least more interesting and usually much quicker. And so, like we've said, exploring the path the first time, really fun. Going backwards through it, not fun. And then there's points in the game where you have to go back to a place that you've been to before. Like you leave the planet and then you come back to the planet. It's like, well, I've got to go through that again. There's no quick,
neat.
There are very few, at least, very few quick, neat ways to get right back to their new location. You know, so it's like, whenever the game tasks me with doing traversing an area I have already, I'm kind of like, all right, I've done this challenge. I've fought these guys. I understand, and it's kind of repetitive.
Right. Yeah, I have two questions for you guys. And going into this, I already understand that there's going to be spoilers, like every other thing.
Of course.
So, firstly, to me, it doesn't seem like they made it. It seems like they didn't shoehorn it into their mythos. You cannot teleport in between meditative spots, correct?
Yeah, no. You cannot do that at any point.
All right, because that in itself, I understand why they chose that approach, but I feel like if they took it like a Dark Souls 1 thing and
eventually gave
you that ability,
gave you
that ability like closer to late game, that would have been helpful.
Yeah, I feel like that would be an easy fix to the problem of the level design. You know, the obviously more elegant and, you know, nice fix would just be to have the backtracking be more interesting or quicker, but that would be at least a really immediate fix that they could do, just allowing you to do that.
Yeah, but it's like, because I mean, like how we've mentioned this in the Dark Souls episodes, how really, you know, Dark Souls 1 is again like a very vertical game and not really sprawling. But then you get to Dark Souls 3
and
you have...
And it's very sprawling.
And it's very sprawling, and it's very here's one path to go all the way down it, here's one path to go all the way down it, mm-hmm. because you can warp immediately. So it kind of... Mm-hmm. It, like, they didn't necessarily play around... I guess because they're just like, people are just going to warp anyways. Like, that's the quicker way of doing everything is going to be warping. Like, whenever you get the Lord Vessel... In Dark Souls, you warp, and the game design, the level design, kind of falls off towards like the end of the mm-hmm. Dark Souls 1 because of that.
Yeah, mm-hmm. they knew because Dark Souls comes after Demon Souls, and Demon Souls gives you warping immediately, and that has a very, at least much more than Dark Souls 1 has a sprawling level design. And in Dark Souls 1, they're like, well, we can make this very interwoven, and so that whole part where it's all interwoven, you don't need it, so they don't give it to you. But as soon as they're like, all mm-hmm. right, you need it, they give it to you. And then in Dark Souls 3, they're like, well, the whole fucking world map is like this, so we're just going to give it to you immediately. You know, like they knew, you know, backtracking this is not necessarily interesting, so we're just going to give you the ability to pass that up right now. And now I lean more toward the interwoven level design over the fast travel, but at least that is a quick fix we can do.
Yeah.
And I just appreciate that in those cases, like with DS1, I like that they put a mechanic into the game with lore first.
Yeah, narratively.
They put it in lore first. And you know, kind of like with, what is it? I guess the next thing that just came to my brain was Breath of the Wild, too, you know, with, I guess with Sheikah Towers, you know, it you don't really do it until you find the next one. And if you decide, like how I usually do, to just not do Sheikah Towers until like maybe the very end, you know, that in itself just adds that similar effect.
Yeah, you know? And I would say a difference here is that Breath of the Wild is open world. So it's not a bunch of paths that connect, it's just a big open plane. And it's like, well, I've mm-hmm. traveled this way before, so let me go, let's say, around and see what new things I can see over here. or let me like maybe jump on the top of this mountain and fly. Like there are many different ways you can do it. So that's another thing, is that you have those options of how do I want to traverse this. In a game like Dark Souls or Fallen Order, it's pretty much decided how you have to traverse it. It's these paths and you have to go down the path. There's no real choice in how you do it. And that's kind of the problem there.
Yeah. My second question, and this can bring the discussion open to more than just levels design, unless if we want to add to.
I think we've talked about it enough.
Yeah. The next thing that I wanted to talk about, because it always intrigued me, was the weapon system that they have. If they like, because I still don't know anything about it. Like, I know that you can get lightsaber parts, and I know that at the eventually you can get a double lightsaber. How does the weapon system work in this game, and how do you feel like it's been used in the game? Or how do you think it's been implemented?
The only thing
properly?
For the weapon system is that you just get to customize how it looks. So that's okay. All those parts do. All the parts do is you can change how it looks.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, double bladed has its uses but for most part, like, you usually kind of want to just stay in single bladed, because
mm-hmm.
it's just, you can get more DPS out of it.
Yeah.
But when it comes to, like,
is that the double is like crowd control, so you could do a bunch of quick light hits and hit a bunch of people really quick, but yeah. The single is going to do more mm-hmm. damage over time. At least I felt like it did.
Yeah.
It definitely does more single gotcha. Target damage.
Okay. I mean, that's, in my opinion, a little disappointing. Like, if they would have done kind of a little bit how KOTOR did, and just from what I'm remembering, mm-hmm. and like, you know, you put in a special crystal and you do like 5% extra damage,
yeah.
or you reduce you know, this or that, or you know, they, or in other words, like, just the upgrading process actually affects your lightsaber and the ability
yeah.
to use it.
I will say that there are two major types of upgrades to your combat, and that is ones that you get, or rather upgrades to your character, because one is one that you get yeah. through story, and usually it will be for traversal. I think the only exception would be getting the double lightsaber, because you just find it. I wouldn't even say that that's essential, but it's just something that you find and you get, and it makes traversal or something a little easier, right? Mm-hmm. Most of your upgrades are kind of skill tree style, where you get upgrades, kind of like how we said it's more like Sekiro, where you get your points and you go up a tree. It's a yeah. lot like that, where it's just like, oh, you have a new move. You can dash
yeah.
long distances.
Yeah.
You can do this. You can do that. It's less of an RPG and more of a... it's more like Metroid, you know. It's going to be more like Metroid. It's going to be more like Hollow Knight. It's going to be more like that, because it's like, it changes how you play, not the numbers behind playing, you know. Like, it doesn't just change the numbers.
Sure.
It just changes how you function.
Yeah. Cause in another way, I respect I do have a respect for why they only went for an aesthetic choice, because as realistic as we can make Jedis and lightsabers, you know, for the most part, taking numbers away and, you know, just focusing on the lore, or, you know, just this mythos that we're talking about, really, a lightsaber isn't going to do more damage to somebody because it looks different.
Mm-hmm.
I understand their realism approach. I would just personally
realism.
Prefer
in a Star Wars
yeah, fantasy game.
Right. Yeah. I mean their immersion, I guess.
Yeah.
Into a realistic scenario. I appreciate that stance. I still would have preferred maybe just a little bit more variety in that, like how KOTOR did it, or like how some other Star Wars games have done it, where you put something in and it really does help you or in some cases hinder you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's basically designed around the idea that, you know, you can do a soul level one run. Essentially, you could not buy any of the optional upgrades with your skill points and still get through the game. But the disadvantage yeah. to that sort of gameplay is that, well, it never expects you to have have any of those upgrades, which is, you know, kind of a flaw that
yeah.
I found, is that you know, I would get all these upgrades and I wouldn't really find a hell of a lot of uses for them. I always found that it was best to just like, you know, back up, dodge, jump in, hit, and then jump back, you know, like just basically do that same loop of, you know, dodge, hit, dodge away, dodge in, hit, dodge away.
Sure, yeah, sure.
I didn't find any compelling reason to do anything different. There are some moves that I liked where, you know, like when you get force pull, which is, you know, again, one of those kind of narrative, it gives it to you, you have to get it. Those moves are really integral to fighting. But anything optional, it really wasn't that useful.
Yeah. I mean, that's like other challenges. Like, you know, Soul Level 1 is one impeccable challenge. But I mean, it just reminds me of like, you know, Breath of the Wild. You only hold on to one weapon, and if it breaks and you don't have anything else, then you're screwed. Or like, you know, Hollow Knight, you don't use any charms. Imagine that.
Yeah.
You know, like some of those self-imposed challenges are fun. But it's one of those things where, again, you can see why they chose to not make the game centered around making it harder because you got a new ability. It's just that you have something new in your toolkit that can allow you to do something different in the game if you choose to.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you could see both sides. I don't know. It's still such an interesting game to me. In spite of some of these things that don't that make it just a little less polished than normal, but it's still super interesting to me. And if is it considered canon?
I believe it is. Or it's considered canon.
Okay.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
Just like these ads are considered canon.
Hell yeah, they are.
Just by the way.
By the way.
God, you are the best.
All right. We'll be right back. Welcome back. I hope you enjoyed those ads. I hope you do the thing. We are going to continue our talk about some stuff. What do y'all want to move into next? There's obviously like the combat and how the combat feels in the game. I don't think we've started on that yet, have we?
Yeah, we kind of...
We've talked about the weapons.
We vaguely touched on it with like upgrades and stuff, but we never got into the meat of it. So I think that's where we can go now.
Yeah. I enjoy it. It's very fun. It's very Sekiro style of fighting where you're more especially well. So the way Sekiro is that like you for bosses, you don't just kill them. Like you have to deplete their stamina meter, their stance meter or whatever it is. And then you can do like death blows or like whatever it is called, killing blows or whatever it is. And then that's when you have to do that like three times where you have to like either deplete their health or, you know, deplete their stamina like three times in order to kill them. And the bosses are not necessarily like that in Fallen Order. They're a little bit, but not really. Because there is a stamina bar, but it's like very rarely that like that's how you're going to fight a boss. Now, when it comes to just regular enemies, yes, there's a lot of times when it's just like really easy enemies to kill and you just go up and you just bop and they kind of like stagger back and you do like a finishing move on them. There's a lot of times when that happens. Other than that, the boss fights are really annoying because a lot of them kind of debate you. There's only like four boss fights, really?
Like four or five, really.
Because you kill the like what the ninth sister or whoever that it was, the one with the
The ninth sister,
Tutorial Island,
and the second sister is
Trilla, right?
Technically, two boss fights, but one of them is supposed to lose right in the beginning.
Well, it's three boss fights against Trilla.
Yeah. And that's the second sister, right?
I guess she's second sister, but
ninth sister's the big one.
the beefy lady, which that was an okay fight.
Mm-hmm. And then there's
that was in one
shirtless
where,
home slice.
There's shirtless home slice. There's that weird bat creature thing on Dathomir.
Yeah.
And
that's more or less
it? That's it? I think that's it, right? That's all the boss
fights. I'm not remembering anything else, you know.
But yeah, yeah, I mean, like, that's pretty much the boss fights.
Yeah, I mean, there are some bigger creatures, too, which kind of blur the line.
Yeah. Mini-bosses, yeah, but I mean, like actual,
I wouldn't
like,
say that those are, like, flat-out bosses, so...
Yeah, yeah, they're kind of... They're there, and you can hunt them down, because some of them are also, on optional paths, so you won't necessarily run into them in your regular gameplay unless you're exploring everything.
Yeah, that's one thing about backtracking that they did pretty all right, is that sometimes you'll backtrack through an area and there will just be like a surprise, like big encounter, you know, or a semi big encounter. It'll just be like this mini boss. It'll be like a bounty hunter and his robot, and it's like, oh fuck, you know, like I didn't know they were there. Like, I like the little surprise.
It
didn't happen so often that it fixed the problem.
Oh,
but
yeah,
it was
there's
nice.
A lot of those fights. There's mm-hmm. There's like three or four of those fights where bounty hunters will attack you.
Yeah, I ran into, I think, four or five of those that were just kind of when you're backtracking or something. Yeah, I did like those because they were a nice little surprise.
They were always a surprise. Like you're kind of backtracking, and then all of a sudden you're like,
you just see a fucking health bar appear, and you're like, what the fuck?
Yeah, and then all of a sudden you're fighting like a Mandalorian out of nowhere.
That's interesting. I mean that adds it would be overkill if that happened like super frequently, mm-hmm. like a Skyrim level, like a dragon suddenly.
Yeah,
that
would be fucking annoying.
But I'm glad that that. Something interesting like that happens so infrequently that it really feels organic.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
really good when it happens. I said, it happened to me at most like 5 times total in the whole game. So
yeah, because it feels like the game world is kind of changing based on what you're doing. Because like it will be, hey, Cal, you need to get back to the ship because the Empire is, you know. They suspect
they're
that something's
and,
going
yeah.
up, and then all of a sudden, like you're backtracking, and then you're having to fight a whole different set of enemies than coming in. That's pretty cool. I enjoyed that. That was nice and refreshing.
Yeah, but that made the design much better. But
yeah, yeah, because I guess we can get a little bit because we talked a little bit about skills,
mm-hmm.
and yeah, they're okay. There's not a lot of them that I would say are very powerful.
Yeah, well, that's the thing is like they can never assume that you have any given upgrade, so it just you can solve any problem a different way. And so I didn't really ever feel like I needed any of them, so they weren't really that integral. The only one I would say was moderately helpful was the lightsaber throw. Lightsaber throw and anything that increases your health or force, you know, anything that gives you anything that's just like a stat buff or the lightsaber throw. There's also one which I kind of don't like the fact that it's there, but it's just a lightsaber damage upgrade. It just anything that's lightsaber, it does more damage now. And on some level, I wish it just were balanced around one amount of damage. Rather than like, there's a point where it clearly comes in handy to have that bonus, you know?
Yeah, I've never liked when games do that because it's like, here's our excuse to make enemies tougher. Because, like with Sekiro, it's a little bit different because there's so many different optional bosses that you can go fight and you can really beef yourself up to where the last boss, you just fucking destroy him. Or if you just kind of go through and do the bare minimum of fighting bosses. The last boss is, you know, kind of tough and it's going to take a while, but it's like still doable because, you know, I guess they kind of expect you to have this normal amount of bosses that you have fought because there's here's these set story bosses that you have to go through in order to get to this point. So we know you're at least this strong so we can kind of gauge it around that.
Yeah. But in this game, it's kind of treated like it's all totally optional. So, you know, you'll have an encounter where it's like, oh, I was probably supposed to do this encounter without the damage upgrade. And then there are some where it's like, I definitely needed the damage upgrade. So it's just kind of, I wish it was just all one damage level and they just gave you all different moves. If they took that one thing out of the skill tree and just balanced it around your base level damage, I would have probably enjoyed the game more.
Yeah. I mean, that's another thing is like kind of like what we were saying earlier. If instead of forcing you to go through like this skill tree that like really really does feel forced and almost required, you know, why not have an optional like lightsaber like modification? You know,
something with trade offs rather than, you know, it just is better.
Exactly. You know, it's like your lightsaber is only going to be good if you temper it, or like if you put in the I don't know, man hours for to understand some combination or secret technique, you know, as opposed to suddenly you are stronger. You know, I wish in that regard they could have just made it a little bit more sensible and a little bit more realistic.
Yeah, but, I think that only that one upgrade is a problem with that. Like, I guess you could also say similar things about getting more health or more force, but I can kind of get that. And every other upgrade is just a new move. It's a new thing you can do, and that's great. Yeah. I like it when things are built around that, because it's not an upgrade, it's like a side grade. It just expands your pool of possibilities rather than you're just better, you know. And I've mentioned before how I don't like, you know, kind of your RPG structure where it's just numbers and you just raise your number and you're just better now. I always prefer it when it's just you give me more possibilities and I as a player have to get better. So that I would say that one upgrade is my least favorite upgrade, but it's also probably the most important upgrade to get.
Yeah. Tell me a little bit about what your impressions on story, because I mean, I it seems like they're trying to take on the weird cryptic mysticism of the whole Jedi Order again. And I mean, how successful was it? You know, like, was it just kind of, with no spoilers to the movies, because obviously, you know, obviously there are callbacks, you know, so did you feel like it was a little too like callbacks to old stuff, or, you know, just tell me some of your impressions.
Yeah, I definitely felt like it stood on its own narratively. You can tell that it's in the same universe, and you can tell that it's in between the original trilogy and the sequel trilogy, or maybe even possibly like kind of at the same time as the sequel trilogy. But
do you mean the prequel trilogy?
No, sequel. This is after original.
Well, original is 4, 5, 6.
Yeah, original. Yeah,
it's not after that.
No, this is after Order 66.
So yeah, this is after Order 66. So this is after Episode 3.
Let me think.
Because Darth Vader dies in Episode 6, so it wouldn't be after that.
Oh yeah, that's right. Yeah,
and sorry, he shows up at the end.
This is after Order 66.
My brain. Oh. Yeah, you're right. My brain was like, Darth Vader's there, so it has to be after 6. I was just like three movies off in my brain. It's like running possibly into the original trilogy. Like, it's either between 3 and 4, or like slightly into 4, but you don't hear about really any events of any of that other than, I guess, Order 66.
It's been confirmed between 3 and 4.
Okay.
It's just after the events of Order 66.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's what I figured from like prologue but
like, I mean, not just after, but it's not during
not
4, 5, and 6.
Far enough after to be episode 4.
Yeah, because I think it's like 10 years after or something like that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but to my grander point, it stands on its own. It obviously references the lore at points and vague general events, you know, but it definitely stands on its own. The only real problem I see with it standing on its own and, you know, being canon and everything is that it's a story where pretty much the overall arc, nothing gets accomplished because it kind of has to not interrupt the timeline.
Yeah.
And that's what I was saying with, you know, before I was like, yeah, the game just kind of ends, you know, in other episodes I mentioned that it just kind of fucking, it just fucking ends, because it's like the whole goal is to find you've got this codec or whatever it's called and the holocron. And you're trying to find with that, you're trying to find all these force-sensitive children and start up the Jedi Order again. Clearly, that doesn't happen because there are no Jedi in the original trilogy, or at least very, very few Jedi in the original trilogy. So it's like...
Sure, sure.
Yeah, so it just kind of... You go through all this shit, and you even get the holocron, and you have it, and like you have the information, and then they just kind of go, oh, fucking, like, we can't make this decision, and just fucking, like, and just cut it in half, and it's like, all right.
Like, well, I mean, it's
I get
weird
why,
when
but it just
to,
kind of feels yeah. like nothing happened, you know? Because really, it's, not much happened. Like
nothing can
like
happen
the sum total the sum total of the narrative is no grander progress. You can take it and look at it as a like a character arc or like a few characters having an arc, but in terms of like overall progress in like the universe, there's really not a whole lot.
Yeah, well, I kind of like to treat this almost as like the first season of a show, of a television show. You know how it's like,
yeah, because
television shows, not necessarily a lot has to happen. It's all kind of building up to something, whereas like movies usually have to stand on their own. And this is definitely not movie narrative. This is like television show narrative. And, you know, it's really open-ended, and I'm quite positive that there's going to be a second game coming up.
They at least
announced.
Seem to intend to, yeah.
Yeah, hopefully announced soon, and I'm really interested in seeing what they keep and what they change and just polishing it, because it's a really, really fun game. It's awesome. And I'm really proud of Respawn for making a single-player Star Wars game, because we haven't had one in fucking forever. And it's just really refreshing to have it again.
Yeah.
And I definitely see more important things happening later on, if they have stuff planned for later on. But if not, then I'll be very disappointed.
Yeah, I will say that I have been focusing on a lot of the negatives, but you know, the game is fun. The game is a great game, and I very much enjoyed it. With my favorite thing about it, you know, it had a great atmosphere where you could like walk through, and aesthetically, the level design was the world design was great, because you know, you could walk in, and I've told y'all about it before, how I really enjoyed that you can walk around and it's like, oh, these future machines taken back by nature, and you know it, and you've got that nice old school Star Wars soundtrack, and it just has this really awesome feeling about it. And the combat, you know, the parts that are there that like I felt like I needed to use, like the force pull, the force push, and like upgrades like that, where you know I just felt like I was just like, once you get good at the game, it's like you're tearing through, you know, it's the type of game where you can take one or two hits and it does a lot of damage, but if you're good at the game, you just don't fucking get hit at all, and you just feel so cool, like pulling dudes, stabbing him, throwing him, and then like pushing this dude off, and it's a really good feeling game. I focused on the negatives because that's what I fucking do, I guess. But it's a really good game. Very much worth getting. And it's a huge, like, it's a big moment for me, because it's like, oh, single player Star Wars. We're getting it back. Oh, shit. They've already announced that they have plans to make more single player Star Wars. So it's like, oh, awesome. You know, that to me, that was everything I needed. This game was perfectly timed, and it's exactly what the industry needed.
Yeah, I wanted to go back to one point that you made about how in summary, or to paraphrase, it's more of like a self-fulfilling prophecy. You know, like the game is, the game has to walk on eggshells in order to not interrupt continuity with the story.
Yes.
I mean, The thing is, I mean, it's no stranger for us, or we're no stranger to it, because I mean, not to spoil anything for the movies, of course, but I mean, the gap fillers that they're making right now, you know, they've made Rogue One, they've made Solo, you know, those narratives have done really exceptional jobs at filling gaps that
we either on one hand really, really needed and the other didn't know we needed but are glad that we have it. I mean, those narratives are there and they did a really, really good job of not interrupting continuity.
Yeah. I feel like the difference there is like with Rogue One and Solo, it's like they were events that, you know, are important and in the case of Rogue One, even alluded to in the original trilogy. And it's like, oh, there was progress because, like, in Solo, the progress had nothing to do with the grander Star Wars narrative. It just had to do with Solo, you know?
Yeah.
And with Rogue One, it was an event alluded to in the trilogy, so things can happen because we know that those things happened. This was kind of between those two where it, like, it has a lot to do with the grander narrative, but also they can't impact the grander narrative because that would retcon things. So I feel like if they came back with a sequel and they made it not about that grander Star Wars narrative, then like if they found a way to make a story that didn't touch that, it would be able to have its own progress and be a self-fulfilling sort of, not self-fulfilling, but a fulfilling narrative in and of itself, you know?
Yeah, because the one thing that's, because right now, I mean, obviously Vader's going to be hunting them down because he knows that they exist. Mm-hmm. So to me, it's like, okay, well, they kind of don't want to chase down all these Force-sensitive people and put them in danger. So they're like, well, we'll let them, you know, let them sort themselves out.
Mm-hmm.
So I feel like, you know, just take it from this grand narrative of, here's the Jedi Order, we need to rebuild it, and we need to put a stop to the Empire for you know, whatever we can do, and then shift it more to, okay, we got to chill the fuck out, because now we're being hunted, so let's lay low, and we'll just be a force for good in the galaxy. Like, yeah. I would like to see that, rather than having to focus on this, like you said, huge, expansive narrative of, here's the Jedi Order, and here's everything we knew about it, and now it's fallen, and now we're going to try to rebuild it again. But it's like, we already know that doesn't happen in the original trilogy, and it barely fucking happens in the sequel trilogy. So it would be hard to kind of make that a plot.
If they went more the, like I said, how Solo, it's like, these events could happen, and they're not related to the Jedi Order, you know? If it could just be, like, I guess, smaller scale, like, I don't know, even if it's cliche, like, oh, a character gets taken and you gotta rescue them, you know? Like, something like that, where it's just, like, it can be a narrative, it can have progress. I mean, there's this whole part in the game that, like, it felt kind of out of place. It was the part where you, like, you get kidnapped and taken off world, and you're like in this like fighting betting arena on another whole fucking planet. It just happens, and I was just like, oh, well, that was cool, you know, like that had a little arc and things happened. And
I wanted, like, more of that. Yeah,
exactly. I
really wish we could have gotten to the I hope that's, if they, you know, if they're making another game, which I am pretty sure they are, I hope that it focuses a little bit more on the whole bounty hunter scene, because that's always like,
because
that's always
the
interesting part about Star Wars games, where you're playing as a Jedi, because, you know, playing KOTOR, you're always running away from bounty hunters and assassins, and then playing this game, it's like, if they incorporate more of that, and it was just so cool. And like, I really they had you just fighting in this arena, and then all of a sudden they come and save you, and I was like, that was fucking cool. But like, we don't hear anything more. That kind of took me by surprise, because I didn't realize that, like, was his name, Grease, I didn't realize that, like, he's the one who got us in that situation until, like, we started talking about it and he was apologizing. I was like, wait, did I fucking miss something?
Yeah.
Because it came out of nowhere.
Yeah, it had like character progression, and like by the end of it, the like the ringleader guy was like mad at you and he wanted revenge. Nothing happens there, but like, you know, there was a character progression there. We learned more about Grease. There was a character progression there. It's like, I felt like, you know, those were the parts of the game that shined, but the narrative is so focused on restoring the Jedi Order that you didn't really get to have those moments. Cal had to have got to have a bit of those moments. The Jedi Master that's with you, she has a little bit of a, you know, narrative arc as well. And those little aspects are great, but it felt weird because our overall goal was restoring the Jedi Order, and we know it can't happen. I wish there was just another focus for the narrative.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but oh well. Other than that, I mean, I really do enjoy. I enjoy a lot of the lore that you get to go around and explore and find a lot of mm-hmm. new lore.
Yeah, there is.
I like the whole
Zepho
kind of stuff going on. That was stuff was really cool.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of the cool stormtrooper variants, like the Death Trooper variants, those are fucking awesome.
Oh yeah, enemy design was pretty good in this game. I liked.
Yeah,
them.
I really enjoyed that. I feel like nothing was ever really too much of a challenge, though. I mean, I played on the, I think like either the medium or like one above the medium difficulty, like the normal difficulty, or like a little bit above, because I know there's Grandmasters. Like,
yeah.
I was like, I'll do one under that.
Yeah, and, you did Jedi Master. That's what I did too. And that's what I recommend for a first playthrough, definitely.
Yeah, because I might actually go through and do Grandmaster, because I want to see like how much of a difference it actually is, because
honestly,
it wasn't.
Once you beat, like if you start in Grandmaster, it's kind of hard, but if you've already played the game, it doesn't really even feel that different, to be honest. It just feels like just kind of more of a difficulty curve, you know, it just kind of picks up where the other one left off. So
yeah, because I mean, it's one of those games that's built around deflecting, and then again, like Sekiro, you have those certain attacks that you can't necessarily block, so you have to dodge them.
Mm-hmm.
And dodging in these kinds of games is really overpowered. So if you just kind of get good at basically almost playing like a rhythm game and just like dodge, dodge, attack, attack, dodge, attack, attack, dodge, mm-hmm. dodge, attack, attack, dodge, attack, attack. Like, because a lot of bosses are very much, and a lot of enemies are very much, there's a rhythm to them and how you fight them. So mm-hmm. it's, and yeah, I mean, like dying, like you fucked up and you died. So it's really your fault. And every time you die, there's never any time where I've died and I'm like, this is just dumb. Every time I've died, it's like, okay, I haven't figured out how to dodge this attack yet. And there are some of them that are like really quick attacks that like, you just have to like recognize it and just know to dodge it, because if you hesitate for a little bit, it's going to hit you. There's definitely some attacks for fighting Trillo where I had a shit time trying to dodge them, because it was just a really quick, it looked like everything else, and then but it was this attack, and like it just kept hitting me. So like that's how I died, mostly was from that attack. But
I remember that attack actually.
but
I will say with the difficulty, an important thing to note is that they don't scale the amount of damage done to you at all, and they don't scale your damage on them. Damage doesn't scale at all.
Yeah, it's just
so
timings
nothing.
And everything.
Nothing ends up feeling like a damage sponge, but it's just kind of, for a first playthrough, it's just a little unforgiving because you're just not that used to it yet.
Yeah.
I mean,
especially
if you
never played a game like
it.
That.
Yeah, exactly. But I think that kind of balance with the difficulties was really good. All it does is it narrows like your deflect window and, you know, things like that. It makes it just harder to do the same stuff, but you're still capable of doing everything. So like I said, it's really good for a second playthrough, because it just kind of feels natural to progress into a second playthrough on Grandmaster.
Yeah. Yeah. Any other things that we want to bring up? Is that kind of,
I need a Metal Gear Solid style bounty hunter single player experience, in the Fox Engine, and,
but in Star Wars universe.
But Star Wars. Like, I need Metal Gear Solid, but Star Wars, and I need a bounty hunter that like sneaks around, but then has to like go guns blazing and like revenge plot. I need it. I need to play another.
Yeah, I feel like a bounty hunter set in like the Old Republic area. That kind of game.
Oh,
holy shit. That would be so good.
Do y'all remember 1313? That was supposed to
happen. Yeah.
That was supposed to happen before Disney bought out the rights to Star Wars and it all got canceled.
Yeah, it was a game that was a single player Star Wars game that
it was a Boba Fett. You played as Boba Fett.
Oh damn.
It was a bounty hunter thing, and that's all we really knew about it.
Yeah. It's like we've been yelling about with all the additional non-main series stuff in Star Wars. It's like, no, I just want more self-contained stories, things that are in the universe but don't have to do with the fucking Jedi Order. We get it. We have 9 movies on that, you know? Like, we're good. Just do shit like the Mandalorian series, where it's just it's its own little thing and has nothing to do, at least as of yet, nothing to do with the grander fucking bring back the Jedi Order shit. Just do that with the games,
or even,
too.
Even like even something like Rogue One, where you're basically doing like Halo Reach style.
Yeah, like
style,
something
you know
they've alluded
I mean? Like
to.
Something like
and
something like I don't know, Republic Commando 2.
Man, that's that dream's dead. That dream's been dead for like 15 years now, man. Like, you gotta give up.
I need, dude,
just gotta go read the books.
It's a Half-Life 3 situation. I need either DICE or Respawn to pull out Republic Commando out of their ass and figure it out. But keep the multiplayer, like the Quake style multiplayer.
All right, is that it?
I think we're good.
Man, I'm just going to keep dreaming.
I recommend the game. Everyone should play the game. That's about it. I hope there's more.
Same.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, thank you for listening. Thank you for joining us. Remember to check back next week for whatever episode we have coming up next. You can find us on Twitter at @Tombstone_pod, Instagram, @Tombstone_podcast. Please leave us a review and a like on, or a review and 5 stars. That would be really helpful on Apple Podcast. I don't know if there's any other places that you can leave reviews, but it would be much, much appreciated. And yeah, thank you. And we will see you lovelies later.
See ya.